you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, November 20th, 2019. And I wish we were taping our current conversation because I got to share this with our listeners. I'm going to put you both on the spot. You didn't know I'd take us to this, but we were talking philosophical about God's love and how it existed in the triune Godhead and how that all worked. And yet we also referenced Mother Superior for Marianne.
No, we're not going to talk about
there?
That. No, we don't.
You were saying Mother Superior, and you wanted to be
in a convent? I said I thought it would be really fun, and I don't know, when I was a little interesting to wander around with all those robes and have all that music, and it'd be neat. I didn't want to stay. I'm not holy about it.
I didn't want to stay. I thought that was interesting. I've never heard anyone refer to you as Mother Superior.
Well, they don't. And they don't think I would have lasted in the convent either.
Well, I think Kathleen Jennings, who has been with us for a number of these Wednesdays where we do the Prime Life Times in review, it's Wednesday, but she used to, I think, sneak into the Catholic Church when she was going to school or before she'd get
beautiful.
To school, and she would just sit there and kind of meditate and think about religious things think about God, so...
Yeah, all the decorations and the liturgy, it's very beautiful.
Well, when he called you Mother Superior, I thought of Sound of Music, which is a practice. We usually watch that when putting up the Christmas tree or during the Christmas season. And I always think of that Mother Superior, the person in charge of all the nuns, and how she had to talk to Maria and set her straight and actually gave her really good advice and how that whole story goes. That's one of my favorites.
The truth is that people always thought of me more as Maria than Mother Superior.
Yeah,
I believe so.
Well, anyways, it's Wednesday, which means it's the Prime Life Times in review, and we have our copy editor, Rob Seidenberg, joining us today, and then our editor-in-chief, Mary Ann Simpkins, who also works with the radio ministry, kind of wears a dozen or so caps, most of the people that work. I mean, we all wear lots of different caps, so...
Don't open the closet, all the caps will fall
out. Yeah, that's right. So this is the last time we'll be talking about the November edition because the December edition is coming out, well, I guess about 10 days. So it'll be coming out on the 29th of November. So the day after Thanksgiving, we'll be delivering those throughout the area. Oh, that's a good one. That's chock filled with all sorts of interesting items and topics.
It's fun.
Yeah. So what did you convince Rob to share with our listeners today?
Well, you know, I really think we should have a conversation about colleges, junior colleges, education, the field of education, because I remember my dad so loved the fact, he had 7 degrees, high degrees, but he loved the fact that there were so many schools and colleges for everything. It's true. Who cares about, you know, some big degree in some other field? If you're a mechanic, you want a mechanic's degree. You want your mechanic to know what he's doing, you know, you want him trained.
Yeah, you mentioned a couple that I'd never heard that there were degrees or fields or schools for that.
Court reporting, there's a college for that. There's a college for funeral services. There's a college. And that's great because that's education. And I know you're really big in that, Rob.
Mr. Education himself.
Yeah, so we put together this series on community colleges, and we started with Parkland in Champaign, and we also did some higher education. Rob, you wrote those articles a while back.
Public Universities of Indiana last year, and it was well received, and a lot of people commented on it.
And they were very appreciative over there.
So we're featuring Parkland now, but we're going to continue this with other colleges in Indiana and throughout our area.
Yes, with other junior colleges through Central Illinois and Western Indiana. So this is our last article about Parkland. So I guess I'll read that, and then we can just talk. Okay. A little bit of Parkland history by Davida Bloom. The first public junior college in the United States was established in 1901 as Joliet Junior College in Joliet, Illinois.
The first was here in Illinois?
I don't know.
Illinois.
The first in the United States. That's correct.
The first in the United States.
It was not a concept before that.
Wow. It was formed through a collaboration between University of Chicago President William Rainey Harper and Joliet Township High School Superintendent Stanley Brown. Their efforts ushered in a new face of higher education, the two-year college. The junior college concept later found its way to Champaign. In 1963, the boards of education in both Champaign and Urbana were in discussions to develop a technical institute, and area school districts and community leaders joined forces with them. In 1964, however, the proposed Master Plan for Higher Education in Illinois influenced the group to consider the development of a junior college instead. In March 1966, Illinois Junior College District 505 was born.
Hmm.
Parkland College, Illinois Junior College District 505, opened its doors in the fall of 1967 in downtown Champaign.
So it was originally listed or known as Illinois Junior College District 505?
That's what it says. No, I don't know. That's amazing.
That's right, yeah.
Wow.
Really?
Yep.
All right.
I like it's just Parkland College.
I know. It's a lot to remember. It had 1,338 students with tuition costs, I love this, at $4.50 per credit hour. I want to go to that. On the quarter system. Its temporary campus utilized various spaces in the downtown area to accommodate its new student population. The Student Center took over a building on the corner of Randolph and Church Streets, previously a grocery store.
Hmm.
The building now houses the Himalayan Chimney and Sushi Kami restaurants. I love Sushi Kami. In the Student Center were offices for the Dean of Students and other deans, faculty offices, the admissions office, and the counseling office. Many classes were held in the Sunday school classrooms of First United Methodist Church and First Presbyterian Church, both on Church Street. Is that why they named Church Street Church
Street?
This is
the corner of Church and State.
Is Church Street named Church Street because of all the churches?
That's how it started, but notice that's the meeting of church and state right there.
Oh, I didn't even catch that. That's clever. Oh, my. Large classes were held in the Rialto Theater on Church Street. The theater was on Church Street, too. Across from the current Art Theater. Business classes were held in the Thomas Jefferson Life Insurance Building, since converted into luxury apartments called the Lodge on Hill. A small building on Randolph Street, behind the current Himalayan Chimney restaurant, where there's now a parking garage, housed the computer science program. Life science classes and labs were set up in a building on West Springfield Avenue near Mattis Avenue in the area where Midland State Bank is today.
Wow, they've made some great progress over the years.
Yeah, they have. The Parkland College Library was on the main floor of Guido's at 2 Main Street, and the administrative offices were located on the second floor of that same building, where you could find the college president and other administrative officials. In addition, Parkland students had access to the Champaign Public Library, then on Church Street, across from Westside Park, where the Meyer Capel Law Firm is now. Physical education was required in all programs at that time, and those classes were held in the Champaign Armory on East Park Street. Parkland's basketball team played its games at Champaign's Central High School. After dominating downtown Champaign and boosting its economy for a few years, Parkland moved to its new site on Bradley Avenue in 1973. By that time, an Illinois statute had changed the term junior college to community college.
Hmm.
With Joliet Junior College being the only Illinois two-year college retaining junior college in its name. Today, Parkland College has a student population of about 14,000 full and part-time students.
Hmm.
And my son is a graduate of that institution, and he got his picture on a flyer for a couple of years.
Did he really?
Yeah.
My nephew graduated from there and went on to get his master's at the U of I and do very well in his field.
And on Monday, during our memorization Monday, our special guest, Mark Kessler, he's a faculty professor over there in
the
business department.
Yeah, right.
So, Parkland. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of great friends. In fact, the future president of Parkland College, can't think of her first name, her husband's Lawson Law.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to take over as president, I think, next year or in the coming days. I forget when that transition actually takes place. But she was on a trip to Israel with me some years back. So she's a great gal.
And we had
Pam, I think was her name.
Pam. We had Ruthie Counter in here for an interview for some of the other articles about Parkland, in the paper.
Oh, Parkland. Great job.
Beautiful campus. Oh, my goodness. It's beautiful out there. Let's also read the byline. Davita Bloom graduated from Parkland College with an associate's degree. After receiving her bachelor's from Eastern Illinois University, she went on to earn her master's from the University of Illinois. Davita taught briefly in Hawaii and then joined the U of I College of Education, where she worked with K-12 school districts and also helped prepare teacher education students for the education job search.
Good job, Davita.
Yeah. Very nice article. Oh. It kind of completes our series on Parkland.
Excellent. So what's the next one? Do we know yet?
I don't know. What do you think? I mean, there's so many.
There are so many colleges and universities in Illinois and Indiana.
Yeah.
And it will take a long time to cover them. But I think, as you suggested earlier, we should concentrate first on our area, west central Indiana and east central Illinois.
Yeah.
And gradually expand out to the extent appropriate. We did cover all the public universities in Indiana, and there are so many colleges and universities there, private, public, you name it, and their situation is a little different from ours. We have lots and lots of little tax districts, which are community college districts, and that's mandated by law.
Oh.
Now, in Illinois, we need our legislature to tell us what to call something, so you can't say mobile home court anymore. It's a manufactured housing court.
Oh, geez.
That's by law.
Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a law? Somebody bothered to make that a law?
Don't say junior college, say community college. But people still say it because it's in the vernacular, and you can't really legislate how people talk. It just doesn't work.
I want to make laws.
Let's make a law today.
English teachers can't do that.
True.
That doesn't mean
I know now you can't even, use certain pronouns, saying him or her in some schools.
Let's just not even go there.
You can't say you guys anymore at the University of Colorado.
Oh, that's one of my favorite. You know why that's a favorite thing of mine? It's because I used to say you all, because it came from the South. You all do this, and everybody's like, no, it's you guys do it. So I learned that. Now I can't say that.
Back to the South. Back to y'all.
Well, below this article, which is in the November edition of the Prime Life Times, which you can pick up at over 300 area locations or read online at primelifetimes.com, primelifetimes.com. But there's Mary Bull in Hondo, Texas, and she's holding up the Prime Life Times paper. And I know, sneak preview, wait till you see the page in the December edition. Oh, boy, everyone, you're going to have fun looking at that page. I won't say much more, but
you know Mary Bull, right?
Yes, she's a sweetie.
Okay,
been on a couple trips to Israel with me.
Has everybody gone?
Yeah, that's right.
Have you gone, Rob?
Not yet. And then Corson Music, a little business card ad. Yes. Appreciate Dyke Corson. In fact, this mixer board here and all the wiring and everything you see in the studio, he helped put that together along with Jim Gunther. So appreciate the expertise and the gifts that Dyke Corson has and Corson Music. And then you have a little Skywatch here.
I love that little column. It's really handy and it's really fun. Do you remember talking about wiring for the studio? Do you remember we were recording a program early
with
one
Jim Gunther in the
one
corner?
Morning? He's laying on the floor under the counter trying to put the wires. It was so funny.
Yeah, we're doing our morning program. Yeah. Jim's laying down.
And he yelled out something. You and I didn't know it. And he's like, this muffled voice comes out, him yelling.
Yeah, we were talking about some topic, and he threw his two cents in as he's laying on the floor, pounding on
the
wall. He's trying to feed wires through. It was pretty good. Yeah,
Mark, you mentioned Dyke Corson in his little ad there, his little business card ad. Do you know that he's a member of the same band that Lyle Clary
is? Not Lee,
the Marvin Lee band.
Oh, in fact, I emailed Marvin Lee yesterday and trying to see if I can get him in the studio, maybe even this or next week for a program.
So great, Marvin Lee is a person?
Yeah.
No, he has a band. He's a real person.
I thought they just made up that
name. Yeah, no, he's like 80 years old.
I'm
singing and playing for many years.
Lyle, I'm sorry. You probably said that when you were here.
Dyke plays guitar and sings, and at the Gospel Fest that they had out here southeast of here toward Indiana, Dyke sang the old Rugged Cross as a solo.
Nice.
Backed up by the band.
He's a good guy.
Well, Mark, I think that Rob should read his Wordsmith's workshop.
Okay, I'm ready to learn some new words and some expressions and information behind it.
I will hold off talking about St. Mary's of the Woods College that I want to walk around in.
Yeah, see, that's that Mother Superior.
That's why I'm going to hold off talking about it. Okay. All right, Rob.
Okay, we're on page A11 of November's issue. A11 at the top.
Wordsmith's workshop.
Eponymous words derived from people's
names.
Okay, wait.
We'll have to a rough start.
Okay. That's right.
let's let Mark find
everyone,
place
let's put on our thinking caps here. We have
getting
to.
Serious.
If you're just waking up and, you know, this might be a little too.
Or if you hoped you could go to sleep, now you got a lot to think about.
A good example of something eponymous would be.
Are you reading?
A disease.
He's ad-libbing now.
Oh, okay.
So
Alzheimer's or Parkinson's, those are named after people. And a lot of medical conditions are named after people.
Okay.
Well, some good conditions are too, right?
Oh, okay.
So, like,
very eponymous.
Rob's syndrome. Have you heard of that one?
I'm going to think about that.
I think I'm starting to get it right now.
So eponymous words derived from people's names. One such stems from a fictitious character, Don Quixote. Pronounced Don Quixote.
But you give a little key, hyphen, H-O. Okay.
Protagonist of Miguel de Cervantes' playful novel El Ingenioso Hidalgo Don Quixote de La Mancha. The witty gentleman Sir Quixote from La Mancha, which we've perhaps wisely, if somewhat unceremoniously, truncated to Don Quixote.
Oh,
now also a modern musical, The Man from La Mancha. Quixote gave us the fun word quixotic.
Doesn't work.
Meaning exceedingly idealistic, unrealistic, and impractical. Doesn't this term characterize a lot of our feverish human endeavor? Though few of us literally joust at windmills.
Joust at windmills.
That's what he did.
He thought
they were enemies, and he was going to.
He's kind of had lost it or something.
He was a little bit quixotic, you might say.
Why? Okay, I'm not going to ask that question. Why quixotic doesn't sound like?
Yeah, it's anglicized.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I've personally done far more foolish things with the best of intentions. Among the more quixotic tasks I've undertaken, submitting a lexical article to a regional monthly newspaper some years back ranks right up there. The article became a column. The column became a monthly project.
You're welcome.
If you oppose this article on general principles, you could always email the editor-in-chief, that's Marianne Simpkins.
You got me there, Rob.
And ask to have it suppressed.
I'm not.
So we're talking about the Wordsmith Workshop.
Yeah, we are, and I'm not going to accept those complaints.
I'm sure dozens will come in after this airing.
Dozens like it, actually. But that was a cute article. You did a good job.
Rob Seidenberg.
Eponymous.
Rob teaches advanced academic writing at a prestigious local university. He welcomes email complaints, comments, and arguments about the column at rob@primelifetimes.com. rob@primelifetimes.com.
And that's what we often get. We often get people who say, wait, I think there's a rule about this, and you said that.
That
and
goes so, in the Rob file, all those.
The ever-growing Rob file.
And anything that comes in, that's like, it's just I just forward
it
on.
Those are fun to answer. And have you ever noticed our movie reviewer says that when he's not fighting off humorless grammarians? And
I know.
It's so funny
and really fun,
you know, because we can quash a whole article by imposing something silly on it. And so, for example, Marianne is the mistress. I wouldn't say master, right?
Oh, I don't care.
But she has mastered the art of effectively using sentence fragments. They're not complete sentences, but they're very effective. So if we change all those to something grammatically correct, they might lose their entire panache.
Have panache. You heard it here. Thank you, Rob. Yep, I do write that way. I'm not as bad as E.E. Cummings, but I do write that way.
And you do capitalize, like you initial cap the first word of the sentence and so on.
I do what I want. It works out.
But the editor-in-chief has poetic license
there
to do some of these things. And it's a great paper. If you haven't read it yet, we've been talking about it for a couple years now. In fact, this December edition puts us forward two full years.
Right, into our third year for real.
Yeah, our third year.
Full circle. Mm-hmm. We started in November 2 years ago, and so we're starting into the third.
And I have to tell you what Mark said. So I.
Oh, he's eponymous. He's going to say something eponymous. It's a Marx saying.
At least it's not a Marxist saying.
Are we still on the air?
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Mark my words. So what happened was I wrote a wordsmith's workshop.
Did you rob that from Marianne?
I did.
Expression. Did you get it robbed?
Yeah, I got it.
And I sent it to Marianne, and she showed it to Mark, and Mark immediately said, hey, it'd be nice to have some of these on hand. We could just stuff them in here and there, wherever we needed them, you know, and have them as filler. And so,
somewhat.
You know, our wordsmith's workshop articles.
Oh.
Ever since then, we've been stuffing them in as fillers. They're kind of stocking stuffers now that it's coming on toward December.
Good job, Rob. You did a great job.
Appreciate your involvement with this radio ministry and the various ways you help, not only through the Prime Lifetimes, but you and Mary supporting us and working behind the scenes and all that editing and proofreading and fine-tuning these articles. Really, it's I won't say it's a flawless paper, but it's pretty well put together.
Well, you know how the Amish have a humility square in a quilt?
They do?
Yeah, to have one little mistake in there intentionally.
I would
not. Lest they be proud and arrogant.
I don't need to have anything.
That's right.
There's going to be a mistake. I don't have to make
and
one.
Muslims also, when they make a rug, like a Persian rug or something, they put a little tiny blemish in on purpose. And even some Muslim craftsmen who would do tiles and stuff in a home would intentionally put a little error to show that they're humble. Oh. And so that's why we don't take all the errors out of the Prime Life.
That's not why we want to be humble.
We try to.
We're just showing how humble we are.
We're on the other side of that. We try to take them all out.
No, when you see a lot of mistakes, that just shows how humble we really are.
Okay, I'm going to remember that.
You want some perspective on this. If there's an award, we really praise Marianne because she's the editor-in-chief. If there's an error, that devolves upon the copy editor.
Oh, my goodness.
It's like an author saying, all errors are my fault.
That reminds me of a proverb that has always upset me. It talks about something about a son or a child is an honor to its father and a disgrace to its mother. I'm like, wait a minute. Wait 1 minute.
But are you you're not saying a biblical proverb, right?
I think it might be.
Yeah, no, there is one.
A child left to himself brings his mother to shame.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
And beat your son with a rod and he shall not die.
Well, yeah. There's a lot of different interpretations.
So shall thou deliver his soul from hell.
Do you know that rod was the shepherd's authority staff?
Well, my dad had one something like that.
Oh, he had something like that?
It was called a razor strap.
And it really
built character. Oh, yeah, I'm telling you.
Oh, Rob.
I never got a lick I didn't need.
We're turning this now into a counseling service.
We've got to keep talking about this aside. I don't like that. No.
I needed it. I'm telling you what. I turned out all right. Thank you. I was a rebellious, strong-willed child that Jim Dobson wrote his book about.
Oh, you were? You were that child.
Probably just so very compliant to our requests here with the Prime Time.
Listener, do you feel uplifted
in
starting your day? God bless you.
We love you. Yeah, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our... Thanks for still being a part of our Radio Listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Rob Seidenberg with the Ministry of Great News Radio and the Prime Life Times. God bless you and have a great day and night.